Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It's A180 served up by Wendy's. Tennessee falls to Florida. Florida, dominant. They're not even that good. Let's break it down. Austin Price, VolQuest.com, joins us twice a week for the VolQuest Report here on the Midday 180. Austin, as you are at Neyland Stadium on Saturday, and that first quarter is unfolding, what are you thinking?
Here we go again. Except for a couple of years ago that there was Josh Dobbs and Josh Malone and, you know, some real offensive weapons that, you know, you knew that potentially could bring Tennessee back. You never felt that way. When it got to 23-3, you know, it was all she wrote. And Tennessee fans hung in there. They tried to continue, you know, a great atmosphere. But, you know, it was rough.
Where do you go from here? If you're Tennessee, if you're the fan base, I mean, there's a harsh reality that sets in. I said 4-8 after the West Virginia game. I think 3-9 was probably more appropriate after that game, watching them against Florida. What is the expectation now moving forward? Is it realistic to expect this team to get better each and every week?
Well, I think you have to hope they get better. I mean, you know, when you look at, you know, some of these young players, there are bright spots individually, Chad, on this football team, you know, but as a whole, as a collective unit, as a defense, as an offense, as an overall program, it's hard to see a bright spot. But when you look at maybe some individual players, you can see, you know, a little bit of a glimmer of hope. And so you have to hope that kind of festers itself a little bit and you can, you know, continue to grow as a program over the course of the next 2 months. And so, you know, and that's, you know, to me, stay healthy, you know, the next 3 weeks. And then, you know, see if you can steal one. I mean, you know, it's easy to say 3-9, and that would be justifiable. And it's easy to, you know, see that, you know, outside of Charlotte, they may not win another game. But, you know, you have to think at some point they run up against somebody that is a good matchup, or, you know, they face somebody that has, a debilitating injury or two, like Tennessee has had the last couple of years. And it might put them in a game that maybe you didn't think they could win right now, but maybe they can win it middle of November. So you just never know what things are going to happen. Let's, you know, we sure don't wish ill on anybody, but let's say Drew Locke was to have to miss some time for a small injury or any kind of injury. You know, obviously that would change, you know, what Missouri wants to do, or Benny Snell at Kentucky. You know, Vanderbilt's got a very experienced quarterback, and you know, so I mean, like, you just, a key injury or two to any of your opponents could affect, you know, Tennessee's ability to win a football game, and then vice versa. I mean, let's face it, Tennessee's relatively healthy, and they just got beat 47-21 by a team that, as Jonathan said to start the segment, is not very good.
Well, and let's look at the Corte Sapp situation and what this tells us about this Tennessee team and what Jeremy Pruitt is trying to change. Jeremy Pruitt was very positive today in the press conference. Still very complimentary overall of Corte Sapp. He had a different take on exactly what happened Saturday night. Corte Sapp comes back, says that's not exactly what happened, and then today you kind of get the, well, they handled it in-house. What does this situation tell us about what Jeremy Pruitt inherited at Tennessee and also about the chances that he can start to change the culture there in year one?
Well, I think you have to try to, you know, start to establish your identity as a head coach. And that goes with how he handled things after the game. He was quick to not really have a rebuttal to Corte's tweet. Where Corte, you know, refuted the idea that he, you know, refused to go into the football game. You know, noted that he did leave the field and, you know, did so because of an altercation on the sideline with a third party. And so, you know, if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you want this to, you know, get handled, move on from it, Obviously, Corte Sapp in his tweet said he was going to continue to give his all for Tennessee, meaning I'm not going anywhere, so I'm still in the football program as long as Coach Pruitt wants me in the football program. And so it's an interesting dynamic. When he exited the field Saturday, Chad, I thought he was gone. And, you know, he motioned to his mom. It happened right in front of me. And I was like, is he quitting in the middle of the game? It's like Vontae Davis college version. And I motioned to his mom. And she left the parent section. And you know, she went down into the locker room with Forte. And, you know, so it's an unfortunate incident that that happened Saturday. And it obviously has been magnified based off the fact that Tennessee was on the bad side of the outcome that was the Florida game Saturday. But, you know, Jeremy Pruitt's trying to change the culture. I'm not sure you fully do so in year one, but you establish what you expect, what you want in year one. And if any of these players that don't, you know, differ from what you want, then it's time for them to move on and you to continue to do what you want to do and establish what you want to establish. Look, Butch Jones did it his way. Jeremy Pruitt's going to do it his way. Some fans don't like Butch Jones, and I understand that. That doesn't mean everything Butch did was wrong. That doesn't mean everything Jeremy does is right. It's just a different way of doing things. And if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you got to stick to your guns and do things the way you know how to do them, the way you've been taught to do them from an early age by your dad, and then learning under Coach Saban, Coach Fisher, Coach Rick. You take little bits and pieces of all of those guys and put them into what Jeremy Pruitt's wanted to have here at Tennessee.
Austin Price is with VolQuest.com. Austin, aside from the result, this weekend was massive for the Tennessee football program from a recruiting standpoint. They have been putting a lot of time and effort planning for this weekend with all the visitors they had in Knoxville. How did that turn out?
Well, obviously, you know, the game didn't turn out well, so it's hard to call a kid from that's a 2020 kid or a 2021 kid and do an update and go, what'd you think of the game? Like, it's just, you know, so you really kind of got to focus on the 2019s, the guys that are coming up on a decision. A guy like Trey Knox at Blackman, a guy like Eric Gray at Los Angeles, a guy like Darnell Wright, who was in town unofficially from Huntington, West Virginia. And then talk to guys like Wanya Morris, who's committed to Tennessee, you know, and still hearing from Auburn and Clemson, and kind of get their thoughts. And so, you know, I don't think that any kind of outcome from one game determines where a recruit goes. But obviously, you know, some of these prospects would like to see Tennessee show some progress on the field. I'm sure it was disappointing to some to see Tennessee lose the way they did. But, you know, every prospect is different. Some prospects grew up in a winning program at the high school level. You know, they want to continue that at the college level, and they would rather go to a place that's going to win above anything else. Some guys are looking for, you know, the best relationship that they can have with the players on the team. Some guys are looking for, you know, a father figure type coach and a relationship with the coaching staff. You know, a guy like Darnell Wright, I think he's kind of looking for a little bit of everything. Just based off the fact that, you know, Darnell's kind of an interesting story. He's been through a tumultuous time. You know, his older brother was killed a couple of years ago. His dad was killed at an early age. And so, you know, he's more big on relationships than it is necessarily winning. Don't get me wrong. He's a part of teams that have been to the state semifinals up in West Virginia, and they routinely get to double-digit wins. But it's not all about wins for him. So I think each individual prospect's a little bit different, which is why, you know, when people ask me, How's Jeremy Pruitt going to get a guy that like that if they're 3-9 or 4-8? Well, because not everybody is all about trying to pick up a trophy at the end of the year. Some people are looking for other things.
Austin, you were talking about the recruiting implications and the weekend that was with Tennessee. Let's say that Tennessee's not going to get to a bowl, which right now looks more than likely. We've talked all offseason about it's important to show progress, it's important to show improvement, important to get to a bowl game. Let's say this team is 4-8. And win-loss, they show no improvement. Is it possible for this coaching staff to rally the class that's currently committed around the idea that they will be the change, that they will get immediate playing time, and not actually show improvement on the field in year one? I know that's how they're going to try to sell it. How possible do you think that is with the guys currently committed?
I think it's possible that they can rally the class behind, you know, the idea of them being, you know, their first full class, they're being the first full class of Jeremy Pruitt guys. And so, you know, when I look at this current group committed, there are certain players that I look at it and go, I'm not sure he ends up in this class. There are guys that I know that Tennessee will struggle to hold on to because of the fact that the win-loss record may not be in their favor. And then there are guys that I think are, you know, are really kind of steady Eddie, and you can, you know, kind of, you know, hang your hat on them in this class. So, you know, Tennessee's got to be able to hang on to those guys that, you know, the win-loss record may affect. And they've got to be able to find a way to kind of appeal to them the next 2 months. Because if you can do that and get them to sign in December, then that goes a long way to kind of forging the future, you know, and maybe turning this thing around. It's not going to be a quick fix. I mean, it, you know, this isn't basketball. You can't just throw out a good point guard or a good post player and all of a sudden be good. It's going to take time, and Tennessee fans are going to have to be patient, which is something no Tennessee fan wants to hear because they've been patient for a decade.
Well, Jeremy Pruitt is a guy who wants his offense to not put his defense in bad spots, which is exactly what happened on Saturday. He's also shown that he's aggressive, going for it on fourth down, onside kick, going for two-point conversions at times. What did you think about how he coached that game just from a play-calling standpoint and being aggressive, especially early in the game?
Well, I think that, you know, defensively, it was a decent game plan early. I thought, you know, some of the tactical moves, like, you know, the onside kick, you know, when you go back and look at it, they had it drawn up perfectly. Like what they saw on film is exactly, you know, how it played out. Florida's guys leave early. You know, Tennessee was in perfect position. I'm sure you've seen it on Twitter, the screenshot. I mean, it's like five orange jerseys and one Florida Gator, and somehow Florida ends up with the football. And so I think Tennessee fans like that he's coaching aggressively. I think they need to find an identity on offense. And I think that, you know, has more to do with Tyson Helton and Will Friend and those guys than it does, you know, Jeremy Pruitt. And while he's the head coach, those guys are the two that, you know, are kind of running this offense. And so find an identity. I thought the first and second down play calling was atrocious. You know, you go back to the second JG interception, and you know that, you know, while the third down, you know, throw screen pass was on, you know, Garantano for forcing it, the first two play calls were, you know, I said it on local TV last night, and after the game, it's like Tyson Helton went out to a local, you know, Pee Wee game on Saturday morning, and he and one of the, you know, dads got their play sheets mixed up. I mean, it was bizarre, man. It's just first and second down play calling. The first half was so bad.
Is this offensive line going to get any better? I think that's what every Tennessee fan wants to know. We've been hearing about continuity and everything else. I know a couple of us weren't on the offensive line, but are you seeing any improvement with this group?
No. I mean, how can you say you're seeing improvement? I mean, you know, against UTEP, you know, obviously they rolled up some yards. UTEP was terrible. You know, I Trey Smith is struggling for whatever reason. I honestly, I was going to make, you know, the notion on our VolQuest podcast, you know, for tomorrow, you know, I don't know if, you know, why not just go back to Drew at left tackle and put Trey at left guard and, you know, just take a look at that. I mean, it just doesn't seem like they're mixing very many combinations up. And, at this point, you know, they've got to find something because, you know, they're not protecting. And you're right, not all of that, you know, pressure Saturday was on the offensive line. Some of it was on a couple of tight ends missing blocks. Some of it was on, you know, Jared holding on to the ball a fraction too long. Some of it was on the coaches putting their players in bad positions. But they need to find a way to, you know, look at different combinations on the offensive line. Pruitt talked about it 30 minutes ago. They found their seven or eight guys. Well, you know, switch around the seven or eight guys. I mean, continuing to go back to that same look outside of maybe switching out a guard, you know, it's just it's getting stale, and the offensive line looks like it.
In terms of Pruitt in the press conference today and after the game, he highlighted a look in the guys' eyes that he liked with some of the young guys on the team late in the game. Today he talks about this is the first day where he noticed everyone was there on Sunday watching film and ready to go. There's two different ways coaches can go after this. They can fire and brimstone it up and talk about people can, you know, get the bleep out if they want, but they're not going to go along with this program, and they can try to stay positive. Pruitt's staying positive right now. What do you think about that tack? Because we know that he's talking to his football team when he talks in these press conferences.
Correct. You know, you go back after the West Virginia game, super positive. They crush ETSU, and he was negative. And then, they beat a UTEP team that's just, frankly, not very good, 24-0, and again, positive. Last week, positive. I mean, he's been tactful with how he responds to things. And, I think the team, I think he's starting to realize that this team, mentally is a little bit fragile, especially in certain areas. And so I think that ultimately he's handling it this way because I think he knows if he goes down the other way that things could really disintegrate.
One thing I saw late in that game, Austin, and one guy that if I'm Jeremy Pruitt and I'm that offensive coaching staff, I'm pointing to and saying, be like this guy. This is what this program should eventually be. It's Jeremy Banks. He was the only guy yelling at the sideline. He was demanding the ball late. He was trying to get into the game. He wanted to beat Florida even down 27 points late in the game. I think that is one positive player that you could point to that's a young guy that maybe, just maybe, has what Jeremy Pruitt wants in a player.
Well, I think there are a few. There are a couple of guys like that. Banks is one of them. So is Bryce Thompson. I mean, Thompson was really, battling a nagging hip deal all week long and went to the trainer's room to get as healthy as he could for the game. And I think the coaching staff took notice of that. So, you're right. I mean, it's few and far between. They've got to find more guys like Banks and like Bryce Thompson. But those are a couple of young kids that you're hanging your hat on, not hitting that freshman wall and being there to be that pick-me-up that this team needs each and every week, which is a tough ask. And so, it's one of those things where you need more guys like that, but I think the only way you're going to get that is continue to chip away in recruiting and just recruit.
Austin Price is with FallQuest.com, gives us the extended stay today. Austin, appreciate it, man, and we'll catch up with you on Friday.
I'll need a Reese's peanut butter milkshake from Hayden, and I'll need it left out there. I need it tweeted out, a picture of that, and I'll send you.
Hayden Haynes heard that order. He's actually mixing it up right now for you. Unfortunately, it's going to take about 3 hours to get here. Maybe
the equivalent of leaving you a wreath.
Thank you, Austin.